Welcome to Get You Fit Radio with your host, Irene Cook, the radio show that helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. And of course, we all know that being healthy involves eating right for you, and including all of the things that make you feel good. And as somebody that works with people day in and day out and writes diets for people, I can tell you that not everybody likes the same foods. Of course, we know this. But in addition to this, I can tell you that not everyone responds the same to the same foods. And I'm not just talking about weight loss. I'm talking about a multitude of different factors. Some people might eat a meal and feel very energetic from a particular meal. Somebody else might eat the exact same meal. And the other person might look physically the same as the first person, meaning they're the same height and weight and all other factors are exactly the same. But the second person might feel tired, fatigued, crabby after eating the identical meal. Now, why would this happen? This is something that has always made nutritionalists and scientists wonder. Well, there's been a lot more than just a wonder in the world of science when it comes to this. In fact, this traces back way, way, way back into the early 1900s, which baffles me because when I think of the early 1900s, I think of a time where, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of technology, there wasn't a whole lot of literature on nutrition, but there were scientists that were studying this. And I'm going to take you back even further than the 1920s. I'm going to take you back to a time where heredity became the basis of everything. So let's go back to talk about heredity and evolution. So heredity is a process in which organisms acquire characteristics from their parents. These characteristics are called traits, and every individual is very unique to these very special and unique set of traits. These traits are transmitted from their parents to their offspring through this process of fertilization. Okay, you've heard all of this in fifth grade science class, all right? So when this occurs, we get all of these genes from our parents, and these inherited traits are coded in our DNA. And then we pass these traits on to our offspring. And of course, the obvious traits are eye color, height, complexion, hair, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so now there are acquired traits. And acquired traits, on the other hand, are characteristics that are acquired by an individual during their lifetime. And it might be acquired to his or her own activities or external influence. So unlike traits that are inherited through your DNA, acquired traits cannot be genetically passed to the next generation. But many of them get confused for what have been given to us through our DNA. So there's this whole confusion of, well, did I get this from my parents? Did I learn it from my parents, or did I acquire it from their DNA? All right, so now there's inherited trait examples. And so there are a plethora of characteristics that we might share with our families also, and they might possess these same unique sets of traits that might not also be governed by sets of offsprings. And these, again, are ones that we all went through in fifth grade class. You know, the tongue rolling and the earlobe attachment, the curly hair, the freckles, right-handedness, left-handedness. And you know, you've heard of all of these hand clasping. These are specific traits that are passed on through DNA. There's a unique one that popped up early in the 1900s that stumped nutritionists. And this is actually something that you can test yourself. It is a PTC testing. And what it is a little strip that you would test to see if you could taste bitter. These little test strips, I've actually purchased them myself on Amazon. You would give them to a participant, an individual. 75% of us will taste bitter. 25% of a national population will taste nothing. So this really, really trumped the nutritionist scientists back in the early 1900s. And this got them thinking, is there a genetic tie to our metabolisms, to the way that we taste things, to the way that we digest things? Okay, so now let's fast forward to what we know today. We know today that certain diseases are tied to certain types of parts of the world. If you are from a certain part of the world, you know that your chances of certain diseases are higher. For example, I looked up ethnic-based carrier screening for cystic fibrosis. If you are from Asia, you have a 1 in 94 chance of cystic fibrosis. If you are from Europe, you have a 1 in 25 chance. If you are Hispanic, you have a 1 in 60 chance. So this is all data that we are just used to seeing all day long. So I ask you, why would it not matter where we're from in the sense of how we respond to food? Well, there is a myth that the standardized diet will someday not exist. So even if your ancestors have lived in the United States for years and years and years and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, you might be wondering, well, you know, my ancestors have been so far removed from their original origin. Shouldn't my digestive system have become adapted to where I am currently living now today? Well, here is your answer. A sign that when you ate the night before might not be what you ate the night before. You know, you're not eating foods that don't do well for you if your digestive tract cannot break it down a half hour after you've eaten the meal. But yet we keep on eating these foods. People typically don't associate digestive tract problems such as nausea, acid reflux, ulcers, diarrhea, colitis with the wrong diet. In fact, all pain, discomfort, natural changes in appearance, red cheeks, chipping and peeling of fingernails, dizziness, irritability, bursitis, joint pain, insomnia, dry eyes, these might all be correlated to the wrong foods. Now, I'm not talking about food intolerances. I am talking about possibly these foods are not sitting well with your body. They might not have the right pH levels. They might have too much pH levels. The alkalinity might be too high or it might be too low. The East Indies and the Pakistans, who replaced their grain-based diets with traditional spices and typical meat-based American diets when they immigrated to the United States, were also plagued with health problems, including heart diseases, and also the Indian and Pakistani immigrants who moved to this country, if you notice, continue to still eat their traditional food. Now, of course, we know that they eat their traditional food because it's traditional and because they love it and because it's something that they have grown up with, but also it makes them feel better. It gives them the energy. Thus, these people whose ancestors ate spicy food probably digested it more effectively, more efficiently than the people that don't live in the origin of their country. So the analysis of 12,000 skeletons in the Native Americans from the South American shores of a far greater evidence showed joint diseases, dental decay, and anemia from sites where these skeletons had migrated over after they had been forced to hunt and gather in areas where they were not from originally. And so there's lots and lots and lots more research that kind of plugs along with this. So what does this mean for you? And how could this change your diet? Well, from a nutritional standpoint, I'm here to tell you what the first thing that you have to do is become in line with your eating and how you feel after you're eating. And before I even say anything else, if you're somebody that's struggling with putting the sleeve of cookies down, we first have to work out that issue, because if you're eating a sleeve of cookies, if you are overdoing the sugar consumption, you're not going to be able to become in tune with your body, because overdoing any amount of sugar is going to make you crash. It's going to induce stress-promoting hormones, and you aren't going to be able to ever feel those energy reserves. So there's basically two types of branches of metabolic types. We have our protein eaters, and we have our carb eaters. So those of you out there in radio land that are listening going, oh, I know which one I am. I know which I am. I'm a protein eater. I'm a carb eater. This doesn't necessarily mean that you are a protein eater because you're a fan of proteins or you enjoy protein. Or you're a carb eater because you are a carb lover, you can't stop eating carbs. What this means is that you respond better to proteins. You respond better to fats. You respond better to vegetables or grains or carbs. And what you have to do in this case is you have to really pay attention to your energy levels and also your fatigue levels. So there are, again, two different types of people. And if you pay attention to your physical characteristics and also your physiological characteristics, you might fall into one or two of these categories. All right, so I'm gonna kind of name the characteristics of both and see if you can place yourself in one or the other. And then I'm gonna reveal which of the two is the protein and which of the two is the carb. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, and I am talking about the different metabolic types and the different types of oxidation in which people burn calories. So if you are a protein type, your body is going to do better at burning proteins and fats. If you are a carbo type, your body is going to do better at burning carbs and grains and fruits and vegetables. All right, so pay attention and see which category you think you might fall in. There is one category, excellent concentration. This category of person is usually highly motivated. They cool off emotionally, although they do get irritated very quickly, very hyperactive, but yet socially withdrawn. Physical characteristics, heartburn, indigestion, oftentimes may experience insomnia, oftentimes may also exhibit hypertension, high blood pressure, and often will also mention low appetite. They tend to be tall and thin, and I have to state that this would be before weight gain. So if you're thinking of yourself now, if you're up a couple pounds, think of yourself before any weight gain occurred. Tendency to be tall and thin. All right, so the next category would be procrastinator, slow to anger, deliberate, cautious, very warm emotionally, but also socially outgoing, very low blood sugar, often chronically fatigued, may get cold sores, larger appetite, shorter, wider bill. So we have our two separate categories. You could see that these two characteristics of people are very, very different. And if you go back to the whole DNA, the whole hereditary thing, a lot of these things come from your genealogy. Now, does this mean that you are 100% going to be a protein eater if you are in the first category? If you are an excellent concentrator and you are socially withdrawn, you tend to have heartburn, does that mean that you should go home and eat a slab of ribs and a ton of butter on there? No, but you should pay attention that if you do eat something that is higher in protein, what do you feel like after? Does it sustain your hunger longer? Do you get more energy? Do you feel that fatigue, or do you feel focused? Pay attention to those things, because if you do feel focused and you do feel energetic, that is a sign that food is working for you. And that is also a sign that it is something that you should incorporate in your diet. There is no other way to know what is going to work for your digestion and your body type and your metabolism. On that same token, if you are somebody that is a procrastinator, you're warm and friendly or social butterfly and you love steak, but I just categorized you as being a carb person, pay attention. If you are somebody that exhibits the characteristics of a carb profile, how do you feel after you eat a fruit salad or a vegetarian meal? Do you have a lot of energy, or do you crash? These are the things that you need to pay attention to. But what is the most important out of all of this is that I did not mention that there is a mixed type. And most people will fall in that mixed category. Now, I have learned how to profile somebody. It takes about 2 hours to give somebody a metabolic profile. And I am a mixed profile. And most people are going to be mixed. So if you're wondering, what should you do if you're mixed? Well, if you're mixed, you should have a balance of protein and carb, which is kind of what I've been saying all along. But the one thing that I've learned in this journey is the reason that we don't lose weight is we force ourselves to comply with certain proteins, and we force ourselves to eat certain fats that may not agree with us. And when I say don't agree with us, I'm not talking about stomach ache, indigestion, heartburn. I'm talking about our moods, our energy levels, our focus. And as I've been working with people, I have had people tell me that they have felt energetic after a certain type of protein. And there are many different types of protein. I will tell you that the dark meat proteins have higher purines. If you eat meat that has more purine in it, and you are somebody that is a fast oxidizer, which is the protein type, that is what your body needs. If you are somebody that is a slow oxidizer, which is the carbo type, then you are going to need the light meats. If you are somebody that's mixed, then you better start alternating. Because I'm finding after years and years of people who are doing everything right but not losing weight, we eat the same foods too often. And I see this day in and day out when I look at people's food logs. I see the same cereal for 15 days in a row. I see the same cottage cheese conglomerate for a month straight. And in theory, that works great. In theory, it does, because you're nailing a meal. You've got all the right ingredients. It's easy to shop for. It's easy to put together. If you're a meal prepper, you can make 15 of them and throw them in your freezer. But what's happening is, as our nervous systems become accustomed to the same foods, we oxidize these foods at different rates. And if you are somebody that is a mixed oxidizer, which I'm here to tell you most people are going to be mixed, you need to switch off your proteins. You need to switch off the types of meat you eat. You need to switch off the types of vegetables you eat. You need to switch off the types of cheeses you eat, because they are not all the same. And I have seen the biggest weight shifts in people who will eat the same cottage cheese conglomerate, but maybe change the berries. On Monday, they'll do strawberries. On Tuesday, they'll do blackberries. On Monday, they'll do cashews. On Tuesday, they'll do almonds. They're still giving themselves that balance of the protein, the carb, and the fat, but they are switching up the multitude of different types of proteins and types of fats that are within that meal. Because your body will become accustomed to it, just like anything else. And so what I would like you to do, if you are at all curious about this, is look at this as two separate and distinct principles. One is that you can maximize your energy, increase your productivity, increase and alleviate any brain fog, reduce brain fog, and maximize your potential for weight loss by switching up your meals. Eggs are a great source of protein, but they're not the same type of protein as a flesh protein. Flesh protein would be your beef, your chicken, your pork. Seafood is not the same type of protein as your legumes. Those provide a different type of protein. So if you are somebody that is feeling tired, if you're somebody that has hit this plateau, of course, follow all the rules that you should in getting out of that plateau. But also remember that the Eskimos did not eat bananas. They're from this region in the world where they lived on blubber. That's what they ate. And I know that there aren't many of us that are from that region of the world. But if you think about the way that our bodies have evolved, we are all very, very individualized. And for that reason, there is no diet for anyone. Furthermore, if you are somebody that lost weight once on this magical diet, of course, we all know it was the motivation that got you there. It was the consistency that helped you cross that finish line. But what might enhance it all, what might speed up your metabolic rate, what might increase your energy and have you feeling better, reduce your chances of disease and also discomfort, is if you find what foods work for you. It'll help you click along that finish line feeling that much stronger. So metabolic typing, like I said, it is not to be used by anyone. It's an very advanced user-friendly technology. But what you can do from an academic discipline is start paying attention to those foods and, by all means, reduce sugar, reduce coffee, reduce caffeine, and I hate to say it, guys, but watch the alcohol intake. You have to remember the cooperation between the organ systems, and I'm going to use the words sympathetic and parasympathetic. These are nerves. They control what comes in and what goes out to our digestive tracts, and this is actually what creates this stress-promoting hormone. Our nervous system is actually what creates this energy. We talk about this all the time. We burn calories, right? We burn calories. Burn. that is what we've been talking about all these years. This is your nervous system burning calories. I hear this probably 100 times a day. Why do I burn calories so slow? This is your nervous system that's burning calories slow. So the branch of nerves that you want to induce to become more overactive is this dominant nerves that can speed up if you can pinpoint which foods will create this inferno. And basically that is exactly what I'm teaching you. So there is the sympathetic and then there is the parasympathetic. And so what we do, because we don't understand this, is we eat the same foods because we assume that chicken is the same as tuna, protein for protein. But actually, they induce different types of stimulation on our nervous system, which will create a different energy burn. So it's very complex. And it absolutely is a technology that can be used by anyone, but it is advanced and it helps people identify the individualized nutritional requirements that is needed in order to reach that next level. But with all that being said, whatever you follow, it should be done with consistency and it should be done with fine-tooth paying attention because none of this will work without that. So I hope this makes sense and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Let's go.